Greetings, sensationalists from across the fruity plains.
You're listening to the Andy Pin Show.
The smooth talk of the town.
Cool.
We are back on the Andy Pin Show, and today is September 8th, 2008. It's the birthday of Patsy Cline, 1932, and Peter Sellers, who was born in 1925. It's also Pink's birthday. She's pretty young, 1979. Okay, let's get back to the choice of Sarah Palin. One of the problems with choosing an unknown who's never been through a national campaign is they're not really fully vetted. So what's been really interesting is to watch how this has all taken place. There's a feeding frenzy going on by the media. They want information. The McCain campaign doesn't think she's ready, so she hasn't done any interviews yet. Actually, she did one in the last day or two with ABC, apparently. I haven't seen it yet. I'm not even sure. I think a piece of it's been broadcast. Yesterday, Sunday morning, Biden and Obama and McCain were all on the Sunday talk shows. Sarah Palin was nowhere to be seen, and yet she's the one that people have the most questions about. The McCain campaign says she was fully vetted, but the evidence is that he basically kept it very quiet and chose her, made a final decision at the last minute. I think when he realized that that Obama hadn't chosen Hillary, that was an opportunity to choose a woman. So one of the interesting things about that is that it really is a political calculation on his part. He said in one interview that she's the most qualified person he could have chosen. That is such nonsense, of course. She was chosen for how she solidifies the Republican base because she is an arch-conservative. She is farther to the right on religious issues, for example, than George W. Bush is. She doesn't believe in abortion, even for rape or incest. And so any number of things will come up, but she has solidified the base. You know how you can tell? The Republican conservatives, the religious conservatives, were just ecstatic with this choice, and it caused a big buzz at the convention. You know, if you think back to the nomination of John Roberts and then Sam Alito to the Supreme Court, the base got behind him immediately. They knew exactly what that meant, right? It meant staunch pro-life judges who would not look favorably on Roe v. Wade eventually. All right. Then when Bush nominated Harriet Myers, actually this was before the Sam Alito pick, the base knew immediately that Harriet Myers wasn't one of them. That is, she wasn't a religious conservative. And they actually rejected Bush's nominee. It wasn't the Democrats that rejected Harriet Myers. The base rejected him. Now, we say there's no litmus test. Of course there's a litmus test for both the right and the left when it comes to the Supreme Court. Well, Sarah Palin is another pick. Some are calling her a dog whistle pick, meaning it's at a pitch that everyone can hear. The average voter doesn't hear it, but it's pitched so that religious conservatives hear it. So she's delighted the base. She delighted the convention. She delivered her speech really well, threw a lot of red meat to the base, had the right tone on the insults, at least from the Republicans' point of view, on the insults to Obama and to Biden. Although I thought it was a little early for her to be out insulting people. She doesn't know, the country doesn't know her well enough for her to be throwing around insults, I would have thought. But anyway, the other piece here is that while the base is satisfied, there are plenty of people in the Republican establishment that are worried about this pick. If this is a long bomb, there's a problem with throwing the long bomb. It means that you feel like you have to shake the race up. And McCain, this may work out. This may be a completed pass. But as Woody Hayes, the great coach from Ohio State, said when he was asked why he doesn't pass the ball more, why he grinds it out on the ground, he said, "Let me tell you something. When you throw the ball, three things can happen, and two of them are bad." So this is a high-risk pick, and let's listen to this. This is MSNBC last week during the Republican convention, and they finished their segment and supposedly cut off. It was Chuck Todd managing it, and he had... Noonan on, two Republican strategists, and Chuck Todd is pretty much a middle-of-the-road analyst. And here they are when the mic, when they don't think they're under the microphone.
Mike Murphy, Peggy Noonan, lots of free advice. We'll see if Steve Schmidt and the boys were watching. We'll find out in your BlackBerry. Tonight, voters will get their chance to hear from Sarah Palin, and she will get the chance to show voters she's the right woman for the job. Up next, one man who says he's already convinced, and to tell us why, Utah Governor John Huntsman.
Now the mic is still on.
You know, because I come out of the blue swing state governor world.
Right.
Engler, Whitman, Tommy Thompson, Mitt Romney, Jeb Bush, and these guys, this is all like how you win a Texas race. You know, just run it up, and it's not going to work. But
it's over.
Still, McCain.
Okay, so Peggy Noonan says it's over. What they're really saying, and Mike Murphy was saying, I come out of a blue state governor's race recently, and what he was saying was everyone expected McCain to make a pick to the center. Had he chosen Tom Ridge, had he chosen Joe Lieberman, certainly, but I can understand why he wouldn't choose someone who's nominally a Democrat. Had he chosen a moderate to go with McCain, who's essentially not a moderate, he's a conservative, but the religious right doesn't trust him, and the conservatives don't trust him. I don't know why he's got an 83% conservative rating. I do know why, because he's not with them on every issue. But what's interesting was, normally you run to your base during the primaries, and you run to the center as you go to the general election. McCain was at his convention running towards his base, that is, picking someone to satisfy his base and solidify his base. He's done that, but this idea that this puts him in a commanding position or in the lead somehow, no, that this is a sign of weakness. When you have to reassure your base in early September of a presidential election, you're in trouble. All right? He's given up a chance to get the great middle, and that's what Mike Murphy was saying and Peggy Noonan was saying, is that you have got to figure out some way to appeal to the moderates, the swing voters, the people who aren't automatically for Obama, aren't automatically for McCain, aren't automatically for a Democrat or a Republican. They're going to look at this over the next couple of months. They're going to look at the debates. And Sarah Palin is not going to reassure those people in the middle, in part because she's ultra-conservative and in part because McCain's 72. He's had several bouts with melanoma, and something could happen to him. Is Sarah Palin ready? Do you want her staring down Vladimir Putin? Do you want her dealing with the Israeli-Palestinian problem in the Middle East? Do you want her deciding how to extract us from Iraq? Do you want her deciding Supreme Court justices? The far right does. But the rest of the country, maybe not so much. So it's going to be interesting to see. Anyway, here's the rest of that open mic gaffe.
Can give a version of the Lieberman speech to do himself some good.
I actually think McCain take was insulting to Kay Bailey Hutchison.
Saw Kay this morning.
Yeah, she's never looked comfortable
they're
about.
They're all bummed out.
I mean, is she really the most qualified woman they could have turned to?
The most qualified? No.
If you could hear that, this is Peggy Noonan saying, the most qualified? No, of course not. And that they were insulting people like Kay Bailey Hutchinson, longtime serving senator from Texas, a woman who could have been McCain's running mate had he not felt he needed to reassure the base. So it's going to be interesting, but to all my left-leaning friends, Democratic friends who are worried because the Republicans had a good convention, who are worried because they're not clear how Joe Biden will handle Sarah Palin in the debates, who are worried that McCain has taken a small lead with the bounce out of the convention, I still will say to you what I've been saying all along. This race will come down to the three presidential debates. The vice presidential debate won't matter unless somebody implodes, and it ain't going to be Biden. And I don't think Palin will implode either. They may protect her from interviews. They may not put her out there much. People will make a judgment about that if they care about that. But it comes down to three presidential debates, and John McCain's going to stand on a stage, and Barack Obama's going to be standing next to him. And in the simplest terms, we always elect the taller man. I'm being a little bit facetious, but that's true. With the exception of George W. Bush beating two guys taller than him, 70% of the time or something, we elect the taller man president, from Abraham Lincoln on, George Washington on. But getting serious for a minute, if you think about how the race was with Ronald Reagan, the Carter administration, Jimmy Carter tried to, and his campaign tried to paint Ronald Reagan as a high-risk candidate. You can't take a chance on this guy. You don't know what he'll do. He may not be ready to be president. He may be too quick, trigger-happy, whatever. You can't trust him. And then Ronald Reagan stood in front of the country at a lectern alongside Jimmy Carter, and the country compared him and said, you know, I don't see how you can say Reagan can't do this. He seems okay. And that's the impression Barack Obama is going to make. He is thoughtful. He's articulate. And he's careful, measures his words. He's relatively, what's the right word I want? Not conservative. He is, he's not the risk taker McCain is, and that's McCain's reputation from the days of flying jets to, his mercurial personality to throwing the long bomb for Sarah Palin. McCain has got the fighter pilot's instincts. Obama's got the lawyer's instincts. He's more cautious. He's more thoughtful. He thinks things through. He's deliberative. He's serious. And so all of that's going to come through in the debates. And I don't have much fear that Obama is going to have trouble. There are too many things running against the Republicans right now. The war in Iraq is still there. And although McCain's going to try and make hay out of the surge worked, the surge is not over yet, meaning the surge is over, but until we start withdrawing troops, we don't know what that power vacuum might look like in Iraq. The whole thing could still blow up on us. All right? Secondly, Obama's going to take him back to the beginning of the war. Why is it we fought this war? And McCain still believes we needed to go in and get Saddam. And all he can say about it, the best he can do, is to say essentially that, well, everyone should be grateful Saddam Hussein is gone. He's not going to try and make the case overtly that $1 trillion and 4,150 lives and about 100,000 Iraqi lives and 2 million people displaced and all the other turmoil it's created, that all that is worth removing Saddam and bringing freedom to the Iraqi people. But that's the case he's stuck with. So there's that and foreign policy. There is the economy, and that's the biggest Achilles heels typically for the incumbent party, but particularly for McCain. The unemployment numbers came out, and it was more bad news last week. We've just had a series of bad news announcements over the last few months. The country believes it's in a recession, even though the numbers don't show us literally in a recession, and the majority of economists think that it is coming, and they've been saying that for 6 months. So the economy's not on McCain's side, and the Obama campaign's going to do their best to tie him to George W. Bush. And that is not going to be pretty. So we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll catch up a little bit with the Democratic convention and then where we think this race is going in the next 60 days. Here's a little more of David Byrne, and let me preface it by saying, if you don't remember the name David Byrne was the brains, I will say, behind the Talking Heads and the guitarist for Talking Heads, one of the great rock bands to come out of the new wave era, the early 80s in New York, late 70s, early 80s in New York City, CBGBs. And he has put out a new solo album with Brian Eno. Here's a cut called Strange Overtones. And David Byrne's appearing live in Baltimore on Wednesday, September 15th. You can't get this album yet. It's not available on CD, but you can go to davidbyrne.com and buy it for $8.75, I think it is, $8.95, and download it. Here's David Byrne. We'll be right back.
sensationalists from across the fruity plains.
You're listening to the Andy Finn Show,
the smooth talk of the town.
Cool.
We are back on the Andy Finn Show, and today is September 8th, and we are talking, we're catching up on the conventions. So let's recap the Republican convention. It started kind of rough. They canceled their first night. They had Hurricane Gustav ready to hit Louisiana and particularly possibly New Orleans. That was a glancing blow. It didn't. The levees held. That was great news. And it also gave the Republicans the perfect excuse not to have Dick Cheney and George W. Bush at their convention. Bush and Cheney said, we have to stay in Washington and monitor the hurricane. If you can imagine Dick Cheney spending any of his time in the day on the hurricane issues, I really can't. I think he did other things. But he understood that, John McCain's best chance to win is if there's not a picture of Dick Cheney and or George Bush hugging John McCain or showing up at the convention. So in the first, for the first time since 1968, when Lyndon Johnson did not show up at the Democratic convention, of course, we were at war and the 68 convention was the one with all the trouble in New York, in Chicago, because Democrats fight against wars when they believe they're unwinnable or unjust. Republicans didn't run into quite so much resistance, war resistance, as we did in 68, but they knew enough to keep Bush and Cheney away. So Bush did an eight-minute live telecast, a video beamed into the thing, and he said he was sorry he couldn't be there, et cetera, et cetera. But the hurricane was a perfect excuse for them not to have Bush and Cheney at the convention. So the hurricane actually worked to their advantage. It set them behind a day, so they came out the second night with the things that might have happened the first night. Of course, Laura Bush made it up there. She's popular, so she and Cindy McCain did the heavy lifting on Monday night. That compares with, at the Democratic convention on Monday night, Michelle Obama gave her speech. And I got to tell you, it was as good a speech as I heard throughout any of this convention. I was very surprised how good she is at delivery. Of course, they're all reading off a teleprompter, okay? So these speeches are already written, and they're reading them. So let's keep that in mind. You know, Obama's been criticized as, well, he's great at reading a teleprompter, right? They were trying to minimize his inspiring speaking. But, of course, that's what Michelle Obama did. That's what Sarah Palin did. That's what they all did. And Michelle Obama was very conversational in her Monday night speech. So she stole the show Monday night. Republicans didn't really have a Monday night, but it got them out of Bush and Cheney. Tuesday night at the Republican convention, they got caught up a little bit. I think Laura Bush, no, she was there Monday night. I forget who spoke Tuesday night at the Republican convention. That's when Bush gave his speech, among a few others that spoke. And then Tuesday night at the Democratic convention, let's see, it was Hillary Clinton. So Hillary was the main speech Tuesday night. So the Democrats have got women dominating those first two nights. And then on Wednesday night, of course, both of them had their vice presidents speak. Joe Biden gave a good speech, but of course it was overshadowed by Sarah Palin. Obama had about 38 million people watch him on TV. Of course, he had 85,000 there in the Invesco Field stands, and it was a big production. And the best the Republicans do was to criticize the setup, that he had Greek columns. So Sean Hannity all week has been calling him Barack Apollo Obama. Apollo Obama. That's just so weak. But Wednesday night, Sarah Palin gave her speech at the Republican convention, and she stole the show. I mean, they wanted her to hit a home run. They were hoping she did well. She did well. I still don't think she should have attacked Obama. You know, she made snide remarks about him being a community organizer and that she had real responsibilities. For somebody, their ticket claims they value service. And, of course, Republicans always value service because they'd rather have people give volunteer service than have the government pay out money. But that's what Obama was doing as a community organizer. And yet, they go ahead and mock community organizers. There are groups that are involved in community organizers organizing that have taken offense and have started counter campaigns. But, you know, people like Sean Hannity have been mocking Obama for a couple of months about this community organizing thing that he has on his resume. Obama's explained what it is. When factories closed in Chicago, he was trying to help people figure out job training to get a new job and a variety of other kinds of things, right? He came out of Harvard Law, and he could have signed up with a big law firm and either gone for the power of Washington or the money of New York or some other big city. And instead, he took a job at a relatively small firm. He did this was after his community organizing years. He did that before he went to law school. But he went back there and took on cases that helped average people. And he started teaching law school at the University of Chicago. He did that, I think, for 12 years. So these folks that say he hasn't held a job for more than 4 years or something, I don't know, or 6 years, I don't know where they're coming from. He and Sarah Palin have about the same experience in government, same number of years experience, but Obama has this other dimension to him that she can't match, which is, you know, she has an undergraduate degree in journalism, communication, my field, from the University of Montana. He's got his degree from Columbia and Harvard Law degree. He was on the Harvard Law Review, elected as editor of Harvard Law in his second year, and he could have written his own ticket, and he went back to Chicago to serve people. So, and then he taught law for 12 years at one of the most prestigious law schools in the country, the University of Chicago. So I don't know how you make fun of all that, but Republicans are clearly making a point to give Sarah Palin her due. The other angle, I guess I should talk about this, is that one of the things that that the Republicans have done with Sarah Palin is, as soon as she started being criticized for a variety of the things that she did or didn't do that were criticizable, the Republicans started crying sexism. These are unfair attacks. These are attacks on her family, on whatever. There were very few of those from the mainstream media, but what they've done is they've lumped the mainstream media and the tabloids together. You know, the National Enquirer is out there with a piece. They were the ones that exposed or were ready to expose the fact that her 17-year-old daughter was pregnant. They have made the claim and say they have the references that she had an affair. I don't have any reason to believe that's true at this point, but it was only a month ago that the hard right, the radio talk show hosts like Hannity, were out there saying that the National Enquirer was reputable and right about John Edwards and his affair, and the mainstream media ignored the story. Right now they want nothing to do with the National Enquirer's stories about Sarah Palin. So what you end up with here is Republicans outraged about sexism, and they have a very short memory because these same people were all over Hillary Clinton for the last 16 years. They have denigrated her. They have demeaned her. You know, when John McCain was asked by a woman last year, how do we beat the bitch? Everyone knew he was talking about Hillary. And he laughed. And he came back after a few seconds. He said, I hope you let me reframe the question. But he said, that's a very good question. He didn't call the woman on that. So if there's been any sexism in the race, it was directed at Hillary. And people want to say it was the Democrats directing at Hillary. There was some of that. But it's been coming from the conservatives and the Republicans since Hillary got in the limelight in 92. So it's a little disingenuous for them to now circle the wagons and say that every attempt to look at Sarah Palin's record is sexism. The last thing I'll say is that John McCain is claiming that change is coming and that he and Sarah Palin will be reformers because they're renegades. No, the real change that the country wants is something a little different than that. What the country wants is relief from the Bush-Cheney policies. And those are primarily Republican policies. So I think John McCain's got an uphill battle. I don't think it's going to work, but we shall see. In any case, that'll do it for the first edition of the Andy Finn Show to appear in the 9 o'clock hour. Coming up next is my friend Adam with Midnight Mutants, and they're coming on at 10, not at midnight. You can read my blogs at my website. Until next week, remember, do it. Don't doubt it.